How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Them into effective bug fighting formulas, safe for use as directed around people, pets, and throughout the home. STEM, rooted in nature, optimized by science.
WBUZ HD3 Laverne, 95.1 Murfreesboro, online on the Fan app. We are 94.9 The Fan, a Cromwell Media station.
ElectronicExpress.com. We make it happen.
Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in to Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard with you live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy show lined up over the next 3 hours. We're going to talk a lot of NFL and college football with Matt Eumanns, Paul Stone, and Wes Reynolds. And we started yesterday the entire show, well, a lot of it, and it's going to be a lot this week with the NFL. The guide here at VSiN comes out on Thursday. We'll do a lot on that sport again today. And we had a sneak peek at the guide last night, Paulie. It's going to look beautiful again when it comes out on Thursday. And a couple of things right out of the gates here. I'm a little concerned because my Super Bowl picks, I'm not worried about the Super Bowl hangover here on the loser side with the Eagles. I think they're going to be just fine again this year. I have the Eagles going back to the Super Bowl and playing the Bengals in the Super Bowl. Here's my concern. Of the 20 VSiN contributors to the guide that had their season-long projections, right? Division winners, wild card teams, and two Super Bowl teams, 15 of the 20 had the Bengals win the AFC. I couldn't believe it. I'm reading the whole thing. I'm like, wait a second. Why? Yeah. I'm counting the whole time. I'm like, wait, what? I'm up to like 10. I'm halfway through. Got the 15 out of 20 picked the Bengals. It scares me. Two picked the Bills and three picked the Chiefs. That's it. In the NFC, the Eagles were picked by eight of us, 49ers by seven, Cowboys three, and Seahawks two. That's it. Only seven teams out of the 20 picked to go to the Super Bowl this year. Does it scare you as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, easy to see. I mean, they should have won the game at Kansas City last year. You have such a stud quarterback in Burrow who's played so well against them. Hard to get there with the Bills after what happened in the playoff game and how they. I mean, has there ever been less hype on a 13-3 team after coming in this upcoming season in terms of people down on Buffalo? But more people picked them, Cincinnati, to go to the Super Bowl than win their own division, 13. So it's a stacked division, and you have to be worried about Baltimore, who I think expect big things out of Jackson and that offense, but definitely cause for concern that 15 of the 20 have Cincinnati going to the Super Bowl. That you have to rethink that one, no doubt. And you know what's the line? If we're all thinking alike, we're not thinking. And I'm with you on the Eagles. I mean, I think the Eagles are going to be dangerous offensively and actually could be better offensively as they look to improve the running game and have a solid offensive line. And I see Hurts taking another big step with the weapons he has.
Okay, it's funny you said what you just did about the Buffalo Bills, because also in the guide, Adam Burke here at VSiN, he wrote a lot of the guide and he helped put together the whole thing. He talked to two former players who are on this network. Mike Pritchard played in the league for 9 years, wide receiver. Sean King played in the NFL for 6 years, quarterback. And he asked him, of the several questions that were asked, you know, he asked for maybe biggest surprises this year and biggest disappointments. Both guys, Pritchard and King, biggest disappointment, Buffalo. Pritchard wrote, this is not about the Madden curse. Josh Allen's on the cover. I believe the league has caught up to Josh Allen and the Bills offense. Mm. This offseason has also produced more of the same for the Bills. Their defense is older and no longer dynamic, and their offense still lacks a physical presence. To pile on, the Bills drafted another pass-catching tight end. An argument can also be made that the AFC East division will be the toughest division in the NFL in 2023. Sean King on the Bills. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about them. For a team with Super Bowl expectations, their offseason has been uninspiring. I'm hearing reports that Von Miller still isn't healthy and ready to return. Also, what's going on with Stephon Diggs? He skipped mandatory camp, and Sean McDermott said he is very concerned. Things just don't seem quite right in Buffalo to me. Josh Allen also took a step back without Brian Daboll.
Yep.
Can Ken Dorsey get them back to full potential in year number two? That last point, I think, is completely spot on. Maybe there is something to that continues this year. And there was more of this on the guide, and I completely agree with it. Diggs had kind of, and he still had good numbers. Something was weird there, and the wide receiver core in general did not live up to expectations last year. It wasn't very good.
No. I mean, the last time we saw him, he's in the loss to Cincinnati, he's on the sideline screaming at Allen. He is a diva. He was getting the ball and putting up numbers in Minnesota.
That's right.
And wanted out, and apparently still not good enough in Buffalo, as he's got something to complain about. So they just ran through the league the first part of last year with the double-digit wins and how high their power rating was and crushing the Rams to start the season. You lose that game against the Dolphins, but it was total domination and what many people felt was a fluke. And Pritch is right about it being a stacked division. While the Jets are the trendy pick, Miami's going to be good, and you still can't sleep on Belichick that, you know, a bad year for him would probably be winning 8 games. But yet in our guide, 15 of us picked him to win the division still. We all agree that that's a thing that's so puzzling, that the AFC is so stacked. In the NFC, it's hard to make a case other than San Francisco or Philly. But in the AFC, there's so many good teams, but yet 15 of us land on Cincinnati to represent them. Yeah.
Of all of the teams in the AFC, completely loaded near the top of that conference, 15 people picked the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl out of there. And here's another thing, too. Only 3 people are on the Chiefs. Are we all kind of sleeping on that team here? I mean,
well, who wants to go with, you know?
Well, no, I know that,
but
I mean,
and plus, I know who
you also want to be right though with your picks, right? And you want to be as accurate as possible with this stuff. What they've hosted 5 consecutive AFC title games.
Mm-hmm.
He's won 2 already. And oh, by the way,
it's like a mini New England thing going on, right?
Yeah.
They win the division and they're going to get a 1 or 2 seed. Going back to the Brady years,
that dude got better at quarterback without Tyreek Hill, which I can't even believe I just said. But the numbers indicate that he was actually more efficient a year ago. And they took off one of the best, 3, 4, 5 receivers in the entire league from the team. Here's the thing about the Chiefs again. And I briefly touched on this in the last couple of weeks. There is a bet at DraftKings. You can bet every single team with their division wins only this year. The Chiefs number is 4.5. If you want to go over, it's even money. Now, I get that. They only play 6, so they can only have, they have to have 0 or 1 loss. But the Chiefs' record against that division since Andy Reid took over as the head coach in 2013, the first 2 years were not great. He was only 2-4 and then 3-3. But then year by year, Andy Reid as the head coach in the division, 5-1, 6-0, 5-1, 5-1, 6-0. There's a 4-2. That was the pandemic year. 5-1 and 6-0. They are 42-6 in the division since 2015. 26-4 since Mahomes took over. They're 7-1 to the over 4.5 division wins since 2015,
uh-huh.
And 4-1 over since Mahomes became the starting quarterback. Now in 2020, that was also, I believe, the year that they were a huge favorite at home against the Raiders, and they got beat in a shootout by Derek Carr.
Took me out in Survivor.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, they own the Raiders. They dominated Denver, 15 in a row, I believe.
Destroyed Denver.
But the Chargers play them tough. And that's the thing. Now, all these games are close, and remember the pick 6 last year in Arrowhead, and then the overtime thriller a couple years ago. Herbert is the second choice at DraftKings for most passing yards. Mahomes, number 1, so it's plus 650. But Herbert could have a big year. But then, it comes back to the coaching staff, and the Chargers just find ways to lose, and the Chiefs and Mahomes find a way to win. So I can't argue with the quarrel with the assessment here that all of us, every single person, picked them to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
20 out
all
of 20. Because that's right. The domination and how Reid has owned this division and what Kansas City does year in, year out. But the Chargers got to win one of these, right?
Well,
maybe
that's
at least split, and maybe they can live up to the hype and expectations and maybe win 12 games and that's good enough and Mahomes gets nicked up or something happens. Because that's the other thing. You have to play out of your mind to beat this guy. Because it's usually going to be a high-scoring game. So between that fluky game on Sunday night when they played Tennessee, and Tennessee was hardly on the field, it was 17-9 when Willis played, but it's just it takes, like, you know, so many things have to go right for you just be in position to beat Mahomes.
Yeah, I would think if they have, I mean, the Chargers probably should take one of the games against them this year. Both games could have gone, I mean, they were like coin flips a year ago, right?
Yeah, but that's where the no home field comes back to bite them.
Yeah.
You know, it's many Chief fans make that
sure.
Drive.
I mean, so it looks, I mean, the 6-0 is like, oh, they did it again.
Yeah.
Well, they easily could have lost both those games to the Chargers.
Yeah.
I get that. So I do anticipate this team to lose at least one game. And it's not like I love it over 4.5, but this is just with Mahomes, it's been, and with Andy Reid, it's incredible. And overall, they do have a tough schedule in general. I mean, that's what happens when you're a first place team and you win 14 games and you win the Super Bowl. I mean, it begins with the Lions and at Jacksonville. So you can probably expect think about that, right? The two trendiest teams from last year into this year, teams that you just knew going back to December and January that people were going to love those two teams this year. They both guys, Jared Goff in that offense and Trevor Lawrence, they're going to have to score in the 30s to beat this guy. Because if you want to win the game, you need to expect to beat him in a shootout.
Yep. He doesn't touch the ball in the overtime loss against the Patriots. Brady was unconscious in that game late, and especially what Gronk did on the third and long. And then he gets beat. They just made some mistakes that weren't typical Kansas City when they lost at home to Cincinnati.
Yep.
The NFC North was a mixed bag. 9 Detroit, 6 Green Bay, 6 Green Bay, 5 Minnesota. And then in the South, it was 11 New Orleans, 5 Carolina, 4 Atlanta. We have a guest coming up who will make the case for the Falcons to win that division.
I'm actually surprised I wasn't a little bit more lopsided, although, again, the Saints are the weakest of the favorites in any of these divisions. Uh-huh. But people actually have faith in the Panthers and the Falcons. They're going out on a small limb. I mean, it's the
That's
Falcons are only plus
2. A lot of intrigue there, yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly some intrigue, yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I would say the same thing about the North. Because nobody's great there.
Well, I hope not. I would love to see Detroit run away with it, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
And they haven't won a playoff game in 3 decades.
31 years.
Yeah.
31.
They haven't
won playoff win with Bobby Lane, since Bobby Lane, right? Playoff win.
What's a fair statement here? The Lions have not had lofty expectations in how long? 25 years? It's been more than 2 decades.
Scott Mitchell? When they signed Scott Mitchell?
It was in the 90s.
Yeah.
The 1990s, that was the last time.
Yes.
Win some, lose some is up next. We'll recap last night's betting action. There is now a team on a 21-5 run. Paulie with the details here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The following conversation brought to you by OmegaTaxCredits.com.
I thought I couldn't get the employee retention credit if I got the PPP loan.
Nope.
I thought it was really difficult to apply for the ERC.
Not if you use Omega Accounting Solutions. See, Omega has been around for more than 15 years. They are an established firm with extensive experience handling tax credits and will build a fiduciary relationship with you and your business.
But I'm sure it takes forever to find out if you qualify, though, right?
Again, no. If you call 800-300-9 ERC, you could find out in under 10 minutes.
I make a call that takes less than 10 minutes, and I can find out if my company is eligible to receive a tax credit for up to $26,000 per employee?
Yes, based on how your small business was impacted by government mandates or lost revenue during the COVID crisis.
Call Omega Accounting at 800-309-ERC, and in 10 minutes, find out if your company qualifies for an employee retention credit for up to $26,000 per employee. That's 800-300-9372.
Racetrack Television Network brings you every race from every track on every screen every day. With monthly packages starting as low as $5, RTN gives you great value and access to more live HD streaming and race replays than anyone. Visit RTN.tv today to sign up and watch on almost any device, including Roku and Amazon Fire. RTN has packages that start at $5 per month.
VSiN is kicking off football season early, and you can get in on the action with a VSiN Pro subscription. Get articles on season win totals, award markets, and playoff and Super Bowl predictions. Get access to team profiles, trends, and power ratings in our NFL betting guide, out June 29th. Join now for $19 with our introductory offer, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special, which takes your VSiN Pro subscription all the way through the Super Bowl for just $175. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and sign up to join the Sports Betting Network.
Now through the 4th of July, save big at Electronic Express. Celebrate with up to 40% off in every department. Don't miss a TCL 50-inch Roku TV for only $249 or a Maytag laundry pair for just $449 each. Get huge savings on computers, appliances, 4K TVs, smart home, outdoor essentials, and more. Get an HP laptop for only $199 or a Napoleon Freestyle grill for $549. Get up to 3 years free financing throughout the entire store. Electronic Express. We make it happen.
The clock is ticking on Genesis Diamond's amazing finance call.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advance pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We are one day away from the beginning of the NHL draft. The Predators with 7 picks in the top 83, and they have 13 picks overall in the draft, which is the most in the NHL heading into the draft. And Adam, an interesting part about this process leading up to it is that Barry Trotz has not been shy about his desire to move up in the draft. He's talked about, he's called teams, he's offered some things to move up into the draft, be that into the top 5, be that into the top 10. And obviously to this point, he has not found a way to do that yet. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I mean, when you have teams that are picking specifically in the top 5, like, you're thinking, especially in a draft that's this deep, that maybe you're drafting franchise cornerstone players, and it takes a lot for teams to move off of those. So what do you make of the position the Predators are in as we sit here one day before the draft with the amount of picks they have at their disposal? And what's been your read on, I guess, the willingness of Barry Trotz to talk about his attempts to move into the top 5 and top 10 to this point?
I just hope that as Barry Trotz becomes a more experienced GM, that he doesn't start wading too much into the GM speak.
I agree.
That we're accustomed to. Now, you know, David Poile, in his time as general manager here, at least the time that I have dealt with him, has been accessible, but he became quite good because of his decades of experience at not saying a lot while appearing to say something. And I think that's what GMs typically do because they don't want to show their hand. But Barry Trotz has been transparent about many of his desires, including, you know, on the station telling Chase last week that he has been trying to trade into the top 5 of the draft. And, you know, I think that is unlikely just because, as you said, there are, you know, incredibly talented players available that will be in that top 5. And I don't think those teams are interested in moving off of those picks. But Barry Trotz has tried, and I'm sure will continue to try over the next, you know, day and a half. I've liked that Barry has shown a willingness to be aggressive and doing things that perhaps David Poile would have been uncomfortable doing, for example, retaining salary.
Yep.
Now, when the Matthias Ekholm trade was made at the trade deadline, technically David Poile was still in charge, but that was after Barry Trotz had been announced as his successor. And that trade of Matthias Ekholm to the Oilers was the first time the Predators have ever retained salary on the trade, which teams have been able to do since 2013.
Yep.
So it took 10 years for the Predators to finally make a trade that involved retaining salary, and now they just did it again with Ryan Johansson. So I do think that is a step in the right direction. And one thing, I was listening to Jared's show yesterday, and I believe it was Keith from Bowling Green texted in, and he had an interesting comment, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said that it's one thing to see what Barry Trotz has been doing, basically cleaning up some of David Poile's mistakes and being happy about that, but let's see what happens when Barry Trotz has to confront perhaps the mistakes that he's going to make.
Right.
Because he's going to make mistakes. That happens in this job. And you're not going to know if he made a mistake tomorrow when he makes, you know, if the Predators make their picks at 15 and 24, we have no idea if those players are going to pan out.
Right.
So we can't say, well, that was a bad pick tomorrow. But it will take a few years, but let's see what happens when Barry Trotz is in the job for a few years and he has to confront a bad contract that he signed or a bad trade that he made. Like, it's great right now. Like, I think the things that Barry Trotz has done right now, it's re-energized the fan base.
Agreed.
I think the fan base is excited, A, to just have Barry back in town, but B, it appears that there's a clear plan for this organization, which I don't think there was over the past few years. Hopefully Willie's not listening because we know the P word triggers Willie. But they do have a clear plan now. And I think fans are willing to accept a few lean years if it means this team is going to get back to where it was, you know, during their glory days, so to speak. But I want to see what Barry Trotz does when he's fully in control. You know, David Poyle has formally retired and the moves that he makes, because, you know, that will change, you know, the perception of him as a general manager.
Yep. It's going to be really interesting to watch that play out. Like you said, I mean, you know, they could make a huge swing tomorrow and find a taker to get into the top six or seven picks in the draft, and they make their selection, and we're not going to know for a while, right? I mean, this draft is different than, you know, the NFL draft. For the most part, when you draft a player in the first round, you know, you're a year away, 2 years away, 3 years away, depending on where you get him. Now, if you get, you know, Connor McDavid or Connor Bedard, who's going to go number one overall tomorrow, probably going to play immediately. Adam Fantilli, who I think the Ducks are going to take at number two tomorrow, he's probably going to play immediately. You know, beyond that, though, I mean, it's, you never really know with some of these prospects. So it's a different prospect or a different process that way. Cam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if the Preds can't get into the top 10, do you think Trotz could bundle a package of second and third rounders to get a third first round pick? It's from Cam on the text line.
Yeah, that's a good question. And, it looks great to have 13 draft picks, especially, as you said, seven in the top 83.
Yep.
And it's not even just this season that we're talking about, this upcoming draft. We're talking about next season as well. So this upcoming draft, tomorrow and Thursday, two first-round picks, two second-round picks, three third-round picks, three fourth-round picks, and two fifth-round picks. Next year, three second-round picks so far and two fourth-round picks. So, you know, you don't need to necessarily use the picks this year to move up. You can use some of the picks next year. So they have a second round pick, I believe, from the Lightning in the Tanner Jeannot trade. They have a second round pick, I believe, in the Nino Niederreiter trade. These are next season.
Yep.
So if you want to move one of those three second round picks next year, you could do that as well. So it's not just we have to move the picks this year. It's you can move the picks next year too. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me if the Predators found a way into the top 10, or maybe even, you know, they're at 15 now, maybe they move up to 11.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't shock me if they moved up a few spots and they have the ammunition in order to do so. So that's why I think, and I've said this with you as well last week, that, you know, for me, I would rather use some of those picks to move up and get, you know, presumably a higher quality prospect than to just make all of the picks.
Yep, I would agree with that. Now, there's also a chance that, you know, you just can't put together a package where that works and you're not able to move up. And let's say they, for sake of argument, they stay at 15 and 24, which is the two first-round picks that they currently have available to them. I would not be shocked. And you know, I think with some of the talk heading into the draft about, you know, trying to find that top centerman and big forward, that's great. I think they're going to try to do that. I also wouldn't be shocked when 15 rolls around, if their first pick is a defenseman. And it's weird to talk about with this Predators franchise because they've been so good at drafting and developing defensemen over the years. But they've not drafted a defenseman in the first round since 2016 when they took Dante Fabbro. And you look at their pipeline right now, I feel better about the forward prospects that they have that they've drafted over the last few years than I do on defense. Like, there's just not much there defensively right now with what they have. So that's a long way of me saying I wouldn't be surprised if they stay put at 15 and 24, if one of those two picks And even at number 15, I wouldn't be surprised if it is a defenseman based on the way the board plays out. I mean, you know, you can't just go draft. It is like the NFL draft in this way. Like, you can't just go draft solely on need when it comes to a futures draft and you're talking about a player maybe contributing 3 years from now. Like, you got to take the best player on the board. And it's cliche, but that best player very well could be a defenseman by the time pick 15 rolls around.
Yeah, they've used their top draft pick. They used their top draft pick in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2021, and 2022 on forwards.
Yep.
And, of course, Yaroslav Askarov was their top pick in 2020. So, as you said, the last time they used a first-round draft pick on a defenseman was Dante Fabro back in 2016. They actually used their second-round pick that year on Sam Girard.
Yep.
You know, I'm looking back at the history. They picked up Alexander Carrier in the fourth round in 2015. You know, they picked up Luke Prokop in the third round in 2020. So they have some decent defensemen in their organization, young defensemen, but no one like we are used to, where it was like the next guy, Roman Josi, the next guy, Ryan Ellis, the next guy, Matthias Ekholm. Like, yep. there isn't someone like that for the Predators at defense. So it wouldn't shock me, and I think it would probably be a wise decision if the board broke the way that we think it will, based on all the mocks I've read, if they were to use their first round pick, that is, on a defenseman.
So we've talked a lot about a specific move that the Predators could make this offseason. Do we think that door is closed heading into the draft tomorrow? We will get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are taking your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So, Adam, there is a move that we have discussed, a potential move that we've discussed a lot so far this offseason, and that is UC Saros and what his future is going to look like. Will he be traded? Will the Predators sign him to a contract extension when his deal comes up in a couple of years? And what about the decision between him and Yaroslav Askarov, who, as you mentioned last segment, they took in the first round in 2020? There was a report that actually you made us aware of yesterday, shortly after it came out from Pierre LeBrun from The Athletic. And, you know, he was doing a piece on the Predators, and he was speaking with Barry Trotz about the Ryan Johansson trade and how all that came together and moving contracts in today's NHL when the salary cap's only going up at $1 million and all those things. And in that conversation, Saros came up, and here's what Barry Trotz had to say in response to Pierre LeBrun. Quote, "I've talked to Saros. Listen, I've got to listen on everything. What I have to do is improve our hockey team, so I have to listen to everything. My goal is to keep your game changers, your Saroses and your Yossis and your Forsbergs. You know, those are game changers. Every team wants to keep 3-4 guys, and you want to build around them. We've got lots of good young kids coming. I just got to make sure I leave roster holes available to them." So that's what Barry Trotz told Pierre LeBrun at The Athletic yesterday. So as you hear that and as you read that, does that close the door on a UC Saros trade right now in your mind this offseason? How do you kind of view those comments from Barry Trotz?
If we're going to further the door metaphor, I don't think the door is completely shut, but I think it's like slightly cracked.
Yep.
Like, you know, someone's foot is in the door, keeping it open barely, but it's mostly closed. That's where I sit on this. I think we were just talking about Barry Trotz's transparency, and how I've gotten to know Barry from afar and in person. You know, he doesn't blow smoke up people's behinds. So I there could be some of that now. As a general manager, you're going to have to be a little cynical,
yep,
you know, with some of the things, or skeptical with some of the things that he says. But I do think that he's being forthcoming there. You know, the way I described it when I was on with Jared yesterday is he is planning on UC Saros being the starting goaltender for this team next season and probably beyond. But if, for example, one of those teams that's in the top five really wants a goalie and is willing to make that trade, which I think is highly unlikely, but if that were to happen in this hypothetical situation, maybe he thinks twice, you know, and decides to move on from Saros. So I think it would take an astronomical offer. I think it was Elliot Friedman who said on the station last week, or maybe even the week before, because we've been talking about it a lot, as you said, that if the Predators were to trade for UC Saros, you're going to see what the Predators are getting back in return and say to yourself, I see why they had to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is what it would take. I don't think he's just going to be traded for picks and prospects. I think it's going to be, it would have to be a trade that would set up the Predators nicely for the present and future. So I don't think it's going to happen, at least not right now. But if things change quickly, and they often do when it comes to player movement, if Barry Trotz is given a package that he can't turn down, I think he would have to seriously consider it.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing about, you talk about the transparency of Barry Trotz, and I agree. Like, he's a straight shooter for the most part. He tells you what he's thinking, and, you know, as a general manager, there are times, and I think David Poile is a master at this. Like, David Poile, for the most part, tells you what he wants to do, but also, for the most part, leaves the door open just in case things change. Like, he does that all the time. And, look, I do think in those comments from Trotz, he says, look, I've got to listen on everything. So right there, you're leaving the door open a little bit when it comes to a trade. But, you know, he talked about wanting to keep game changers. And it's interesting, the spot that they're in, because you can't do anything with UC Saros from a contractual perspective until this time a year from now. So they're a full calendar year away. It'll be next July 1st, so July 1st of 2024, before they can ever touch UC Saros' contract. So you don't really have to make a decision on the contract maybe until then, and you can get started on that front. But the value of a trade, you know, I've said it, I don't think it'll ever be higher than it is this offseason just based on the term that he's got left on his current deal. So it's something to think about if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators. But I've also said this all along. We've thrown out the hypothetical scenarios of trading UC Saros and what that could look like. And, you know, Adam, last week you and I talked about it and think that's probably something that the Predators should explore. I've also said there's a chance that Barry Trotz looks at this whole thing and says, you guys are crazy. Like, I'm not trading UC Saros. He's the goaltender that I want to be the backstop of this team for the next 7-8 years. So maybe that's the way that he's approaching this. We'll have to wait and see on that front. Now, the other part of this is, like I said, they can't do anything with the contract until next season. And there's a lot that can change between now and then. And I don't think there's much that's going to change on the UC Saros front. Like, barring an injury, if he's healthy, he's going to be out there. He's going to play really well. He's probably going to be in the Vezina Trophy conversation next year. I don't know if he'll win it or not, because a lot of times that also has to do with, you know, team success. So we'll see on that front. But he's going to play really well, and the Predators will probably be a bubble team, and we'll see what happens. The thing that could really change this, in my opinion, is what does Askarov do next year? Like, is he incredibly good down in Milwaukee? Like, do you look at him and say, man, that guy is going to be an absolute stud at the NHL level? That's when I think the equation can change a little bit. So I'm with you. I don't think it totally closes the door on a UC Saros move, but certainly I think right now Barry Trotz is not walking into this draft tomorrow with an intention of moving UC Saros.
No, and I would agree with that. And by the way, UC Saros finishing fourth in Vezina Trophy voting. Of course, the top three are finalists, so he just missed the cut. But yep. Now that is three consecutive seasons where he has finished in the top six of Vezina Trophy voting. He finished sixth, three seasons ago.
Yep.
He was third 2 seasons ago and fourth last season. So, you know, if he continues to be in the Vezina Trophy discussion every year, which, as we have just listed, probably will. You know, that's why we've talked about his value being high now, because you are locked into 2 years at $5 million, which is an incredible bargain for the amount of games and the quality of goaltending that you're getting out of UC Saros. But, you know, Askarov, as you said, you know, plays a huge role in this. And, you know, last season, last regular season in the American League, he won 26 games out of 48 appearances. He had a 2.69 goals against and 9.11 save percentage, which is fine, you know, fine for a kid, you know, who's he just turned 21, I think.
Yep.
So I think that's perfectly fine in the postseason. You know, he hit a wall near the end, finished with a 2.7 goals against and 9.03 save percentage in 12 games. You know, I think last season was probably what you expected out of Askarov, you know, in his first, you know, full AHL season. And we'll see what happens next year. You know, if he, you know, remember how good Connor Ingram was at the AHL level.
Oh yeah.
He was one of the best goaltenders in the league, and now he just signed a new contract to stay with the Arizona Coyotes, and he's a serviceable goaltender. I'm not saying that Askarov is going to turn into Connor Ingram, because if that were to be the case, probably wouldn't feel too good about it, just because of where you picked Askarov and the fact that you traded the 7th round pick for Connor Ingram. But, you know, sometimes the success in the American League doesn't always translate, and vice versa. So just because Askarov may have had maybe what we would call an average year in the American League doesn't mean he's not going to pop one day when he gets to the NHL. But as I said, the kid just turned 21 years old. You know, goaltenders need some cooking, some seasoning.
Yes.
Down in the down in the minors usually. So I mean, how old was Pecorine when he debuted?
Oh, he was older than that. He's
by
25,
sure.
Oh, yeah. Maybe.
I knew, yeah. He was definitely older than that. I was thinking mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
And had an excellent career over the next, you know, 12 years. So, you know, if Askarov isn't ready until he's 24, 25, I think that's perfectly fine.
Craig on the text line says, is there a chance we keep both goalies and in the future we have a goalie tandem similar to what Boston had this year and what we had in the past with Saros and Pekka? We've gotten that question before, and I understand the thought process behind it. To me, and this is just my opinion, I think that's pretty bad asset mismanagement on the part of the Predators. Like, to me, you got to pick one. It either needs to be Saros with a new contract and you trade Askarov, or it needs to be Askarov taking over the reins and you trade Saros. I just think, you know, sitting there and having both of them, it's a different situation than Saros and Pekka was, because if you give Saros the next contract, like, the age difference is not as stark between Saros and Askarov as it was between Pekka and Saros. So, like, when Saros first came in, you knew that Pekka, while he was at the peak of his powers during that time, and that was, you know, 2017, 2018, you know, he won the Vezina in 2018. You knew at some point relatively soon the end was coming, and that's not the case with UC Saros. At least I don't think that's the case with UC Saros.
Well,
it's a different situation.
When UC came up and was the, you know, the full-time backup to Pekka, you know, Pekka was in his mid-30s, and UC was in his early to mid-20s.
Exactly.
Like, it's a different conversation, just because UC Saros is currently 28, and Askarov, as I said, just turned 21, I think, if my math is right. So there's definitely not as much of an age difference between the two. So, yeah, I could it happen? Yes. Do I think it would be the right thing? No. I don't think you need both of them. Like, that's what we've talked about. It's like either you're convinced that UC Saros is the next Pecorine, who's going to be starting 60 games for you every year until he's 35.
Right.
Or that Askarov is the next big thing, and you move off of Saros, and then the money that you're not paying Saros, you're paying to Askarov and to other people on the team and building a different roster. So I agree with you. I think it would be poor asset management if the Predators decided Saros is our starter and Askarov is our backup until Askarov becomes our starter and UC is our backup. Like, I just don't think that's the right thing to do.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. More on that coming up next. We'll have Easton Freeze from Broadway Sports coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Tennessee Titans with him. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Easton Freeze from Broadway Sports coming up at 7 o'clock, getting into all things Tennessee Titans. With him, John Glennon at 8 o'clock, Nick Kotsanika from NHL.com at 8:30. So lots to get to on the program here today. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Aaron on the text line says, what if the best player on the board in the draft is a goalie? What if the Preds do then?
Oh, no.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that in the first round of this year's draft, but that would be quite something if their pick rolled around and it's like, huh, yeah, our best player is it's a goalie.
What was Rand Carthon's word? Play the board, roll the dice? Or?
Yeah. Just take another one. Just add another goalie to the mix. What do you think about that one, Adam?
Well, what did I say earlier about, you know, Barry Trotz having to go his own way,
yeah,
and make his own moves?
It's like, hey,
that would be,
that we're not going to do that.
That would be bad, I think.
we're not going to do that.
That would be the first mistake.
Cam on the text line says, if Askarov is the guy, then the Preds can't let Saros' contract come up. They could lose him for nothing. However, I do think that Saros' value could be higher at this year's deadline. This is from Cam on the text line. What do you think of that? Like, is the value higher now? Could it be higher if the Predators did wait to the deadline for next year? I mean, all it takes is one team. So, you know, we know that all you need really is a desperate team to give up what you want them to give up. I kind of disagree, though. I think the value is highest right now as we sit here today heading into the draft.
Right, because you get two full seasons. Now, I think teams are more interested, you know, when a player gets traded at the deadline with term, you know, you always talk about, well, this, if you trade for X player with 2 years on this contract, that's two playoff runs that you could have with that player. So yes, you could trade UC Saros at the trade deadline, and that team would have two runs at the playoffs with UC Saros. But you know, I think having two full seasons versus a season and a quarter, presumably, it you know, would increase his value as well. Now, teams can get desperate at the trade deadline because there is, in fact, a deadline, and you know, maybe they make a decision they wouldn't make when they have more time to think about it. So there's that. But yes, I think trading him this summer would be how you maximize his value.
So what else do you think could be coming? We've talked about it. They've got $19.5 million, roughly, of cap space available to them. They've got to re-sign Cody Glass. You know, they're going to make a decision on Alex Carrier as well and what that's going to look like. So it's not going to be quite $19.5 million, but they're going to have quite a bit of space left to spend money. So what do you think still could be coming? What do you make of how Matt Duchene fits into all this? They've gotten rid of Johansson. Duchene's got 3 years left on his deal. His modified no move kicks in this year. Now, it's just, I think, a seven-team no-trade list at that point. So it's not a huge deal with the modified no move clause at that point, but is he safe at this point? Are they considering moving him, do you think? What do you make of where the Predators currently sit and what else could be coming from Barry Trotz?
I don't anticipate much happening in free agency. I think most teams have been transparent about how weak this free agent class is. You know, you know the argument can be made that the top free agent at any position is Dmitry Orlov, you know, defenseman, most recently of the Bruins, traded from the Capitals at the trade deadline. And Orlov is a good player, but he's not, you know, the kind of player that you would typically have at the top of a list of free agents. So I don't expect a lot there. You know, one thing that is interesting to me is, you know, Barry Trotz mentioned getting guys that could be good culture guys on short-term deals, veteran players who can come in for 1 or 2 years and help shepherd these younger players. Now, you saw a move like this yesterday between Boston and Chicago.
Yep.
The Bruins traded Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno to the Blackhawks, and Hall will presumably be on the same line as Connor Bedard. But, you know, Hall has been there. He was a number one pick himself. You know, he's played with a ton of other number one picks, MVP in 2018.
This will be a sixth team.
Right. Good player to have on your team if you're looking to shepherd along a player like Connor Bedard, who we expect to be, you know, perhaps the next Connor McDavid.
Right.
One player that popped into my head yesterday who could be available via trade that would fit that bill to me is Tyler Toffoli.
Yep.
You know, Tyler Toffoli plays for Calgary. There are a lot of decisions the Flames have to make because they do not want another Johnny Gaudreau situation where their top players just leave in free agency for nothing.
Well, and he said he's not re-signing in Calgary, Toffoli.
So Toffoli wants out. He has 1 year left on his deal. I believe he has a $4.25 million cap hit. Won the Stanley Cup with the Los Angeles Kings. Had a great season last year with the Flames. Still a highly productive player. And, you know, so if I'm Barry Trotz and I want to bring in a guy for a year or two who can show the young players how to practice good habits and, you know, rings in the room. That's a thing that GMs love, those intangibles. Like, honestly, I would take a shot at Tyler Toffoli. I'm not sure what it would cost in terms of the acquisition cost, but I think he could fit in and he would be a top six forward on the team that really doesn't have that many right now. So that's something I thought about yesterday. I would take a crack at Tyler Toffoli and see if you could add him to your team for a year.
What's your thought on, as we sit here a day before the draft, we'll see what happens and if a move is actually made at the draft or if it drags on into the offseason. Your thoughts on Alex DeBrincat and whether or not the Predators should be involved with that?
I mean, I think they should. You know, I wonder if there is not much of an appetite right now to sign players to long-term contracts. And our friend Mark Lazarus had a really interesting story on The Athletic today where he talked to the players who were here for the awards. He talked to Connor McDavid and Erik Karlsson and others about, you know, whether or not we could see the NHL move towards more of the NBA way of thinking, where players take these huge 1 or 2 year deals, bet on themselves and keep, you know, increasing their value versus locking themselves into seven and eight year deals.
Yep.
And I'm not convinced that'll happen in the NHL because you have a hard salary cap and everything like that. But it's a really interesting read. I highly recommend it. But you know, with DeBrincat, he might be looking for that long term security. Now he's 25, I believe. So there's a little less risk than if you're signing a 28 or 29-year-old to a long-term contract. But maybe DeBrincat is of that mind, like Austin Matthews was when he signed his most recent contract, where maybe he wants to sign a 4 or 5 year deal so that he has another shot at making more money when he's in his early 30s. Now, that would be a risk I would be willing to take. But I know that we have talked about this as well, that he's not a winger. I mean, he's not a center. He's a winger, and this team needs centers. But players like DeBrincat at his age and with his resume do not come available often. So I would take a run at it. I wouldn't go crazy. I wouldn't sell the farm, so to speak, and I wouldn't sign him to a ridiculous contract. But if everything is reasonable, I would. I don't see the downside in having a player that already has two 40-goal seasons under his belt at a young age. You know, I don't see a downside to adding a player like that to your roster.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Easton Freeze from Broadway Sports, host of the Hot Read podcast as well. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.